Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, Woody, thank you. So the last time we talked to Mike Florio, we were wondering after that 28-6 loss at home, what was going to happen. And just a couple hours later, Chris Greer is out. And they end up on the trade deadline getting rid of just one player. Some people thought they'd get rid of, most people thought it would be three or four guys. It was just the one. Anyway, Mike Florio joins us this morning. Mike, were you surprised that Stephen Ross finally moved on the general manager?
Well, yes and no. Now, I am a big proponent in any NFL team for shared accountability between the head coach and the general manager. I think it creates an inherently toxic environment. If the coach believes he can blame the problems of the team on the GM, and if the GM believes he can blame the problems of the team on the coach, I think the right approach is everybody stays and thrives, or everybody goes and we start over. A half measure is not an ideal outcome, but dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. So it doesn't surprise me that that's what Stephen Ross did, because the bad teams have a common thread. The dysfunction flows from the top. Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Titans. Those are the top four that come to mind right now, or bottom four as the case may be. So it didn't surprise me, but I don't think it's the right solution. I don't think that firing the GM, making the head coach a de facto lame duck, if he even makes it through the end of the season. And I know reportedly he's safe, but that's all subject to change whenever Stephen Ross decides he needs to make another half move and make it a whole move. But it feels like a new regime is coming, and the rest of this season is preseason in advance of 2026, with decisions being made about who's going to stay, who's going to go. And of course, those decisions ultimately will be made by whoever is hired to be the GM and the head coach. Knowing that they have a $54 million cash and cap anchor next year in the form of the contract that never should have been given to Tua. And I'm not trying to be critical of Tua. I'm critical of the fact that Tua shouldn't have received $150 million fully guaranteed over 3 years. That just shouldn't have happened. And the next regime's going to have to deal with the last guaranteed installment of $54 million.
You know, a lot of people think Stephen Ross is looking at this as Tua and Mike being connected together to see how this thing goes the last eight games. You're not buying into that, are you?
Well, I do believe, Joe, at some level, there's an argument to be made that if we have to pay Tua anyway, one alternative is to not be in the market for a new head coach in this cycle. Because look at it this way. What coach with options is going to want to take that job, knowing that for his first year, he's going to have one hand tied behind his back in the form of a contract that saddles him with a player that he's not going to want? I mean, let's be realistic about it. The teams that change coaches and GMs are teams that have fundamental problems. It's rare that the quarterback isn't part of those problems. It's rare that the new coach says, that's absolutely the guy I want. It was kind of a surprise that Mike McDaniel was so enthusiastic. Remember the FaceTime he did with Tua on
like
the plane?
Like yesterday, yep.
Yeah, so the only time that's ever really worked is for Tony Dungy when he landed in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning. That's a no-brainer. That makes that job more attractive. The Tua contract makes this job less attractive. So if there's a way to win enough games down the stretch that the fans will buy the idea of running it back one more time with Mike McDaniel and Tua, then I think that's at least an option. And maybe that's what Stephen Ross is exploring. Unless the truth is he just felt like he needed to give the fans something at a time when they were disgusted in the aftermath of what happened last Thursday night. So let's give him something. Let's give him a half measure. Let's give him Chris Greer, and then we'll figure out the rest of it later.
Mike, that Amazon Prime coverage of that game, I thought they did, first of all, every time something was bad, they showed the bags on the head, they showed a fan leaving, they showed it was something negative, and they took a shot always back to Stephen Ross in his owner's box. I think that was icing on the cake. I think he's looking, going, oh, my God, and they're coming right back to me on every shot. I'm doing enough. I've had it. You think that could have had something to do with it? You buying any of that?
Oh, absolutely. If that had been a game tucked into the cluster of 1 o'clock Eastern games on a Sunday, it's a much different vibe. Much different vibe. So I absolutely believe that this is one of those situations where a primetime game creates a lot more problems than it solves because it becomes more conspicuous and it creates a national embarrassment for the organization that compels the owner to do something. And I always get a kick out of the whole mutual decision. That became a thing about 10 years ago. Like, what's Chris Greer going to say? Do you really think he wanted to leave the organization he's been with for a decade longer than Stephen Ross owned the team? No.
Right.
But Stephen Ross fired Chris Greer, and we knew something was going to come. We just didn't know what. And it just feels like something else is going to come. And we'll see. We'll see. But that Tua contract, I wrote about this over the weekend. That Tua contract is going to be an impediment to getting the best possible coach and GM that they can when they're going to be in competition with multiple other teams that are looking to replace the two most important jobs in any NFL franchise.
So I want to ask you, a few days later, we got the trade deadline. The Dolphins end up just getting rid of a pass rusher. A lot of people thought they would get rid of a lot more at this point of being 2-7. You see the Jets, they got a whole bunch for two really good defensive players. And I know the Dolphins didn't have that quality of players. Were you surprised they didn't make more moves, though, a little bit?
A little bit. Now, look, there's been so much praise of Champ Kelly, the interim GM, for exercising restraint. These were all ownership calls. Champ Kelly wasn't going to be given the keys to the car. Because Champ Kelly at some level would have said, hey, my only chance at getting this job permanently, and I think he's got a very, very small chance of being the full-time GM, my only chance is to make moves, to flip assets, to stockpile draft picks, to go out and find practice squad guys who can come in and play well enough that I impress Stephen Ross and Tom Garfinkel and anyone else who's helping make decisions about what we're going to do. So this was ownership saying, no, we're not going to do it. And the difference between the Jets and the Dolphins is simple, because people are calling what the Jets did a fire sale. That's not a fire sale. They sold at retail. They came out of those transactions with three first-round picks, a second-round pick, and two players. That is not a fire sale. A fire sale is taking whatever you can get. If they were engaged in a fire sale, they would have traded Breece Hall. They would have traded Jermaine Johnson. They would have traded Michael Clemens. So the Dolphins had opportunities, but, you know, for Jalen Waddle, I heard they wanted a one plus. And if they don't get a one plus, they're not going to trade him. So they decided, hey, look, I mean, look at it this way. Tyreek Hill's not going to be there next year. Unless he redoes his contract and takes a hell of a lot less than what he's due to make, $36 million total compensation package, he's not going to be there.
Yes.
So you need to have somebody. And Jalen Waddle has proven that he's a high-end talent. He was a top 10 pick. He earned a second contract. You're not going to move on from him just to get anything you can. So I think that's what it came down to. They got value that they deemed was appropriate for Jalen Phillips. And for the other players, they didn't get an offer that they evaluated right. and said, this is the right offer and we're willing to make this move. So now, again, it's not Champ Kelly. It's ownership saying, I'm not going to just give away my players because we're currently circling the drain and we're going to get anything we can in the hopes of loading up as many picks as possible. So, and the other side of it too, you could always trade guys in the offseason.
That's
and
true.
Maybe you can get more for Jalen Waddle in the offseason, because any draft picks you get now, you're still not using them till April.
Right.
You can trade somebody in March and you get the same draft pick that you use in April of 2026.
So, Mike, flipping teams here a little bit, this Kyler Murray thing, if somebody would have told me Jacoby Brissett, who's been on six or seven teams, and he's a South Florida guy, Dwyer High School, it was going to be the starter, and Kyler Murray basically looks like, I listened to some of your stuff you guys did yesterday, he's out. He may never play again, huh, in Arizona.
I would not be surprised if he never suits up for the Cardinals again. When you look at his contract, when you look at the circumstances, when Coach Jonathan Gannon said last Saturday that Jacoby Brissett would start on Monday night against the Cowboys and Kyler Murray could have a role, I took a step back because that was the weekend that we're all trying to figure out who may get traded. Where are the hot spots? And I started poking around whether or not Kyler Murray could get traded before the deadline. Now, it became quickly clear there were far too many moving parts, too many things that would need to be done, not enough teams that would be ready to take on his contract, not enough teams that he'd be ready to join, because it's not a rest-of-the-season move. It's a longer-term move if you're Kyler Murray jumping from one team to another. But through the process of investigating that and coming to the conclusion he wasn't going to be traded, I also came to the conclusion he's going to be traded after the season. And it could be. It could be. When you look at his contract, he's got $39 million fully guaranteed next year. Another $19.5 kicks in on the fifth day of the league year. It becomes like a Russell Wilson situation. Daniel Jones, who else have we seen it with? It was another quarterback, Derek Carr. We've seen teams put quarterbacks in bubble wrap down the stretch because they don't want that extra money to become fully guaranteed. Because here's how it works. If Kyler Murray can't pass a physical by the fifth day of the league year in March 2026, the 19.5 for 2027 becomes fully guaranteed. So I think he won't play again this year. And wow. I don't think he'll play for the Cardinals again. It's just a question of how this relationship becomes disconnected. Is it a trade? Is he released? That's one of the things that moves to the top of the list of off-season quarterback carousel chaos.
Could you see, because I just put Kyler Murray, you're talking about him. We talk about Tua so much here in South Florida. You think they could go on and will play somewhere else and start for another team from the start, not through injury and be a backup, but go someplace as a starter?
Well, let me just throw out hypotheticals and speculation and obvious dot connecting here. The Dolphins are going to be looking for a coach. Last year, Cliff Kingsbury had no desire to leave the Washington Commanders because the arrow was pointing up. Everything felt good. There wasn't an option out there that he felt compelled to pursue. He took no interviews. This year, maybe he's going to feel differently. Maybe he's going to feel after what happens in Washington, you know what? The window's still open for me. I can maybe slip through it. What if he ends up, and I have no idea which way this is going to go. Nobody does at this point. What if he ends up being the next coach of the Dolphins? What if he wants to reunite with Kyler Murray? They were together in Arizona. They made it to the playoffs in Arizona. So that's a possibility. And then you plug Kyler Murray right in. I think there's a fair question to be asked about Kyler Murray as to what his top end is at this point. How good can he be? How far can he go? Is he already in decline? You start to take away the high-end speed, agility, the shiftiness, the things he can do off schedule to buy time and extend plays and zip past people for a 15-yard gain. If that starts to diminish, then maybe he's not attractive as a starting option. I mean, let's be fair. Big picture. He's been in the NFL since 2019. He's been to the playoffs one time. So I don't know. And same thing with Tua. Where is the team that's going to say, this is the guy that we're going to cast our lot with, this is the guy we're going to bring in to be our starter? Not just the placeholder until we can draft someone, but our true week one through week 18 starting quarterback. So, the first step is going to be, as soon as the regular season ends, we'll know who's looking for coaches. Then once the coaches land where they're going to land, then we will start to figure out where the quarterbacks are going to go. So, you know, that's what makes the offseason so compelling, because we know there's going to be 6, 7, 8 new coaches, and we know there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that move. It used to be starting quarterbacks didn't move. Teams didn't want to move on from starting quarterbacks. Now we see teams willing to try to roll the dice to upgrade. So those guys will be in the mix. The first step is, who are the coaches going to be, and are these coaches going to look at Tua or Kyler as their options? And that's why I think it's possible Tua gets traded. But again, Dolphins are going to have to pay a lot of
some money. Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah. Hey, so we got another story down here. It's been a crazy one. It's been going on for years here in our backyard. Antonio Brown and the latest with him. How bad could this get with the facing attempted murder charges in Miami? They had to bring him out of Dubai, bring him back here, arrest him. Help me out on that. Put your legal cap on.
Well, I mean, I've done the research into Florida law. It's a second degree murder attempt. It's a second degree felony, and under Florida law, it's up to 15 years in prison. So we'll see how this process plays out. Remember, presumption of innocence, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a very high bar. They're going to have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he attempted to kill someone that night when all hell broke loose at the boxing event. And, you know, and also along the way, you know, you don't find reasonable doubt through a trial process if you don't have a client who's going to go along with everything that is recommended. And none of us know when it happened for Antonio Brown. I look at the hit that he took in the playoff game against the Bengals some 9, 10 years ago. He took that vicious hit, and I noticed a change in him after that. I mean, I've interviewed him in person both before and after, and there was a difference after that hit. And it's unfortunate. He says himself he's got CTE. I mean, nobody knows, because they can't diagnose it in someone at this point until the person is deceased. But that's going to be part of the challenge. To beat these charges, he needs to be a good client. He needs to be somebody who takes the advice his lawyers give him and acts on it and makes good decisions. He may decide to turn down a plea deal that would be very favorable and roll the dice on going to trial. He may insist on testifying at trial. So there are a lot of things to be determined here. But what we know is this: he was sufficiently concerned by that warrant that he left the country, and he stayed out of the country for months. And now he's been apprehended in Dubai, and he's going to have to face justice on this thing that he initially said. I remember when it all hit social media that weekend in May, it looked like he was the victim.
Yes.
And he said he'd been cleared. And we found out not long after that when they investigated, they realized that they believe he's responsible. And prosecutors typically don't go forward with these cases unless they think they're going to get that conviction by proving the guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Just an incredible story. Just a talented guy to just everything that's happened. We were doing stuff off the field, arena football, furniture throwing, jumping a guy who's moving his furniture back from the West Coast. I mean, it just goes on and on. Anyway, hey, Mike, thank you. Really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We're going to go to break here. We got a lot more. Got to take a look at some of the games coming up. Man, if you want to win big, I got some good ones for you coming.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Enough.
The Joe Rose Show continues now. First, though, let's head out west for a sports update.
Well, thank you, Hollywood. Mike Hunt from 106.9 The Bone here in Milpitas. And things are spiraling out of control here for the Trojans after a 25-7 loss to Sequoia. Following the loss, head coach Mo Lester was informed that he would be fired after the season. Rumors started to swirl around that Milpitas legend Kim Bocamper could be the front runner to take over the failing program. While the team lacks talent, they were expecting quarterback Jack McCock back for his senior season. JMC was asked about possibly playing for Bocamper, and things took a rough turn.
There's absolutely no chance I'll be playing for that old man. I don't have time to hear all his BS stories of how things were back in the day. I don't care about that team. This team only won 4 games all season. It ain't been my fault. There's a chance I have a growth spurt this offseason and I'll be able to see my receivers next year. You know what I'm saying? This is my team, and I don't need another old coach here talking to me about the glory days. Make your choice, Milpitas. If you hire that bum, I'm out of here.
This promises to be an interesting offseason, to say the least. For now, let's send it back to my guys in Miami, 7-0 Bo and company man Harold.
Of giving me a little bit of these. I'm gonna have to call him on Jack Massey and
hey,
if they can take him down for me.
Well, I guess you won't be taking that head coaching job.
I don't think so.
Milpitas' finest comes back home.
I thought that thing was dead and buried a while back, but somehow it's resurfaced now.
It just gets more creative.
The team really is struggling, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Bad loss.
Not what it used to be.
Yeah. It reminds me of a team somewhere around here, you know?
Oh, gosh.
And we've been able to sync that thing up with our pro team, yeah.
I don't think there's anything else to talk about here so far with all the stuff going on with this team. I tell you, hey, I haven't talked to Seth about the podcast, but you're on fire yesterday.
Well. It seems, I think,
I drove home and I went through, what the hell?
Strange things are happening these days, you know? I mean, there's some bizarre things happening. Maybe it's.
You had it.
Maybe it's Halloween or something.
It could have been Halloween, but I just think it was like you had it. I don't know if it was at home or you were driving in, but there was just major buildup of all the dysfunction of this team.
It was a slow burn.
Nobody was safe. The right guard, the right tackle from this opening season, why they're not back. Yeah. Nobody got a hall pass.
No.
Well, there were no hall passes given out yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there are some guys you want to keep and you want to keep around. I'm with you on that. By the way, if we keep those two linebackers inside, I got no problem. They have been productive. They fill up the stat sheet.
Yeah.
They get numbers. I'm sticking with the defensive line, most of it.
Yeah. Well, So to me, let's leave the rookies out of it. You know.
Yes. That's good.
Now if they come back next year, and they're in the same, and they're playing the same way they are now, then you got a problem.
Well, most of them are going to be better.
Yes.
I remember the jump from first year
to second year.
Like, just, am I going to make it another week? Am I going to make it? And then you get some confidence and you come back and the game's completely different.
But
you didn't change our system every year. We had the same system. Right. That helped.
So you have these young rookies on both sides of the ball. And they're playing different teams, and every team does different things. And so you got to see those things, you know, blocking schemes, patterns, things like that. And, you know, I remember when I was a rookie and they put me down as a down rusher every now and then. And so I'm playing against a tackle, and the tackle just kind of takes like four steps back. And I go, oh man, I'm gonna have a chance to get inside. And all of a sudden, some guard from the other side on the pass play comes over and they trap block you on a pass play.
Right.
I go, oh, I never seen that before.
Right.
You know, but so then it happened again, and then I see, okay, if you're gonna drop that fast, I'm gonna look inside because something's coming.
But it takes
reps in order to do that, and so I think that's what it's growing pains, and I think. Much like we talked about Patrick Paul last year, I'm not sure say we're going to see they're going to be as good as what he has become, but I think these rookies are going to be better than they are right now.
I think Patrick Paul.
But there's a lot of other stuff that's not
right.
That's not right.
We wish everybody was where Patrick Paul. He might be the one guy that when all those
is untouchable.
Nope.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Because there's a shortage of offensive linemen. We see it every week now, right? Everybody's got three or four guys out. I see the Chargers got two or three guys. Every week, everybody's got two or three offensive linemen out and playing with backups. So you're looking for a bunch of those guys. You know what's amazing? Well, I started the show this morning. The shortage of quarterbacks. I'm already looking. Yeah. The Dolphins, arguably, most people say they need to draft a quarterback. Jets. The Browns, Dylan Gabriel, did he do anything for you?
No.
Okay. Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, does he come back? He's having a good year, but does he come back? Saints, for sure. Rattler and Shuck.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going, oh, boy. Kyler Murray, they got a Tua situation there. He's went on IR. I think they'd like to move, and I don't know about Geno Smith with the Raiders.
Yeah.
I just – and he's got zero to play with. That team doesn't have a lot of talent.
But Joe, therein lies what to me has been the quarterback situation for maybe a decade, is that, you know, these teams that don't have a quarterback, look at the teams, the Mahomes, the
they don't have these discussions.
These number – you know, the
Josh Allen's.
You know, like even – now you got to look at New England. Look at Dart. I mean, he's – looks like he's the guy up there.
Oh, with the Giants, Dart looks great.
Drake May looks great. So you got a couple of guys that look like they're going to be the guys.
They got him,
and so they got him. Now they don't need to. They don't need to look at it.
But that's the hardest thing. So New England's off and running now.
But so what happens is what we've seen where you draft if you got first round picks, you want to get up there, and you'll take. They've taken like five quarterbacks in the top 10 picks. And in reality, most of those quarterbacks should have been second, third, or fourth round draft picks.
You reach.
Right? But you're so hungry for one of those guys that you see it and you go, I think we can make this guy. And then halfway through the season, you go, it's not the guy.
So, you know, one of the problems.
How many of those guys are floating around?
I was thinking we had dinner with Nat Moore. You were at the dinner and we were talking about Richardson coming out with Florida. He goes, man, he's got ridiculous talent. He can run. He's 240. He can throw it. He can throw it a country mile. And Nat said he needs to stay one more year in college. He probably won't because he's going to be a high pick, but his ass needs to stay at Florida one more year. And sure enough, man, he's hurt all the time. He doesn't know what's going on.
Look at our backup quarterback. What was he, the second pick in the draft?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's on his third team, and he was vacillating between the second and third guy for the last couple of weeks.
Well, I'm with everybody else on that one.
You know?
I know we had that discussion. Hewers needs to be the backup now. There should be no, like, this other guy ain't coming back.
No.
He didn't go try to find a home somewhere else.
Yeah,
this system's not for him.
Yeah. But again, it's you know, that quarterback position, you know, it's so in the league now, it's quarterback and edge rushers, right? You want the quarterback, and you want the guy that chases the quarterback.
Well, if you're going by the trade deadline, everybody was looking for the Chubbs and
So are you surprised that only one guy moved?
But from what everybody has said, we got offered sixes and sevens for all our guys, and Waddle not close to what we were hoping to get. I think they would have traded all of them with the right draft pick. I think Jalen Waddle would have been gone. And by the way, I like Jalen Waddle. I'm not one to get rid of a guy that's under contract that's still a young guy. That I just like, I want what he wants. Throw me a lot of football the next 8 weeks. I got to be a prior. I'm by far your best receiver.
Yep.
Throw me the football. Would you have gotten rid of Waddle with the right?
Well, you know,
like,
what?
Say they give a one and a four.
So to me, for Waddle, it would have had to be a Laremy Tunsil deal, you know, where they throw so much at you that you can't say no.
I know.
But look, you know, so we got the Laremy Tunsil deal and we let it slip through our fingers. Didn't take advantage of it. Right?
So
pick the wrong guy. Pick this guy. Oh, that guy. Wrong guy.
Hey, Bo, you know what the frustration is? And again, I know you're gonna bust my chops. And Chris is gone.
Yeah.
But he got the two biggest draft classes in history of this franchise. He got the Jets thing. He got the threes and the twos and two.
Well, the Tua draft where you got Tua, you got
Austin Jackson
and Igbinogany. Yeah. And now you're looking at, you know, what'd you get out of it?
Austin Jackson's always hurt. What do you do with Austin Jackson going forward?
When
healthy, they say he's a good player.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen him play.
How did he play his first 2 years? Not very good. But then his contract year, he played really well.
Well, he found the right tackle position and the right system, and he did start playing a lot better.
I don't, you know, to me, I'm not holding my breath for him. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath for Daniels. I mean, at this point, you know, Joe, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, sometimes if I don't see how you can sit on the sideline, anybody on a football team, and watch your team going down the drain and not wanting to be in there with your guys in the locker room, your guys that are depending on you to play, and you don't even try to play. Oh, no, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play. I don't – that for the life of me is – you know, I understand you play for money. I understand for this, but
– they want to be completely healthy coming back.
You know what that team is like when you've got a team that's really tight. And look, we had a team that was really tight, and like.
But Bo, you agree?
If I couldn't play a game, I felt bad being on the sideline because I'm not with you guys and helping you trying to help you win a game. I don't think that's around anymore.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. But Bo, we had 13, 14 guys by the end of the season all lined up to take the needle before the game.
I understand they don't do that.
And by the way, we did it on our own because I'm like you. I don't want to let anybody down. Yeah. It was a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, all he had to, all the doc had to do was just lie to me a little bit and say it won't hurt you long term.
Yeah. But I look.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't want to get into I don't want to get into it because I know you've had your run-ins with doctors that didn't end up very well.
You don't need slander lawsuits. No, you don't. It's a good point. Let's get right to that.
Not that I'm slandering doctors.
And by the way, no. I did, all the big bosses are coming in today, and I don't want any slander on any doctors from 40 years ago.
All right. Zach Elb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And before we talk football, I always remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Zach Gelb can be heard nationally afternoons on the Infinity Sports Network. And he joins us from the WFAN studios in New York City. And Gelby, we had a bit of an underwhelming NFL trade deadline day for the Dolphins yesterday. After they fired Chris Greer, I was expecting a significant sell-off by 4 p.m. yesterday. And the only player they ended up moving was Jalen Phillips a couple days earlier to Philly. And I understand if there were no offers, there's no offers. But were you surprised that a team like the Dolphins, who kind of, I thought, telegraphed, hey, we're going to make some changes, we're going to get rid of the general manager, and we need someone to be in charge of that. Are you surprised that they didn't have a big sell-off yesterday?
Yes and no. When they got rid of Chris Greer, I said it's either, well, we all knew that it was time for him to go. But in terms of why now, it's either they didn't want him to make those decisions or he wasn't comfortable in getting rid of a lot of those guys and making those decisions to trade off the assets without knowing what his job security was at. I did anticipate they would make more moves. I thought for sure Chubb would be gone. Phillips obviously gets traded. In terms of Waddle and Achane, I didn't know what to expect because those guys are still good young players. And unless if you would have got blown away with an offer, which you weren't getting for Devon Achane just because of the position, it would be more for Waddle. Unless if you were getting a Sauce Gardner type of offer, which the Colts giving up 2 first-round picks, which was an overpay, I did not anticipate that Waddle would end up getting dealt.
Solana actually was saying that, too, where Waddle is a young, good receiver. Like, what would a guy like that go for, do you think? Because they're not getting a one for Waddle. But would it be like a two? Like, because they were saying 1-1-1, we need a one for Waddle. And I think that was crazy of the Dolphins to approach it that way.
I agree with the Dolphins. If they weren't getting a one for Jalen Waddle, then I wouldn't have traded him. Like, you're going to have Tua on this roster next year. Tua's going to be the starting quarterback, you would think, next year bare minimum, just because of the way the contract is structured. So what are we going to do? Just throw Tua out there for the last year with nothing around him? And then whenever the next guy takes over, they won't have a guy like Jalen Waddle. I think Jalen Waddle's an asset. I think he has potential to be a number one wide receiver in this league.
That's what I was going to ask you, Gel, but regarding Tua, because we're all just kind of exploring how the Dolphins can get out of his contract. And then there's this conversation about keeping Mike McDaniel. What's the point right now when you're trying to lose games? But clearly the Dolphins didn't sell off all their players. They want to win. If Tua, what does he have to do to maybe garner some interest around the league to where they would trade for him? Obviously, the Dolphins would have to cover most of his money next season, but it would be a win-win, I think, if another team can get him at a discount and the Dolphins can get part of his contract off their books while looking ahead towards the future. Would there be any interest? Like, what does he have to do?
I understand that people are desperate to get quarterbacks, and there's a lot of dumb coordinators in this league that don't actually see what is happening in a situation. They go, I could fix that guy. With how public and how nationally the injuries have played out with Tua, I think it's going to be very tough. Even if he has a solid second half of the season, which I don't anticipate, I think it's going to be very tough because of how much money he's owed. Even if you do jump through some financial hula hoops and you kind of tie up the loose ends, I still believe it's going to be virtually impossible to trade to a Tagovailoa.
Is that the same thing? We kind of had this yesterday when we found out Zion Williamson. I'll get back to football, but I was just thinking, like, Zion, to me, there's still so much potential there, but he's out again with a hamstring injury. Would anybody take a flyer on Zion for any kind of price? Like, or would it have to be bargain basement?
I guess he would be easier to trade than Tua.
He's been less durable than Tua, to be quite honest. Tua's given you one full season more. Mm-hmm. Has he given you more than one? I mean, he wasn't the starter
this year.
But back to what I was saying, you also have to see who else is available. Like, don't get me wrong, Tua's been a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. And both of those guys have contracts. But if I am a general manager, who do I think is easier to fix right now? I think it's easier to fix Kyler Murray than Tua. And Kyler Murray hasn't always been healthy, but it's just where the injuries have occurred and the coverage of it, I think, is totally different. So that's another thing working against the Dolphins, is that Kyler is going to, who already got benched, he is going to be available. And I know he's hurt right now. in the offseason, and I think there's a team more likely to go trade. Like if you're the Raiders, let's just say, are you more likely to trade for Tua or Kyler Murray? I think they'd be more likely to trade for Kyler.
Wow. I think that would be a mistake, but I understand what you're saying. That probably would be the prevailing notion.
Well, let's be real. It's kind of like when you're a kid. You know, would you rather have the asparagus or the broccoli?
Right.
Ma, there's no winners.
There's no winners in that hypothetical. What do you make about
unless
the Jets?
Unless if you said avocado toast. If mom said avocado toast, even though I'm allergic to avocado, I know Hawk would
No one's allergic to avocado. That's impossible. What are you? Who's allergic
guacamole.
To avocado?
Can't have guacamole because of avocado.
You're
allergic?
You swell up?
Like, my stomach gets very tight, and how can I clean this up on the radio?
So it's either
coming out one or two places. That's what I'll say to you.
So you don't have a tolerance.
No, like, I get sick.
No,
that emotions. I get sick.
You can't say you're allergic. No, you can't say you're allergic to something if all it does is just give you the squirts.
Okay.
Right. I don't think there's an avocado
allergy. No, that's not what happens. Like, I end up on the floor in, like, the fetal position, in the feeble position.
I don't believe you.
I am. Okay. Invite me over to your house. Make me mushrooms and avocado. And your beautiful fiancé is going to have to clean up, along with you, my throw up and my diarrhea.
It says it is possible to have an allergy to avocado. Allergy is a rare but serious condition that can cause a variety of symptoms, including oral reactions, itching, swelling, burning in the mouth, throat, or tongue, gastrointestinal reactions, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or abdominal pain.
And here's the thing. I used to love when I was a kid, like chips and guac. I used to love, like, if my dad made cheesesteaks, put mushrooms on the cheesesteaks. And then for some reason, when I was in high school, those foods just didn't start to agree with me. And my mom is the same way. They don't agree with her either, and my sister. So I think that it runs in the family.
Tighten up, Gelb. I mean, it's enough. You're too old.
And by the way, if Len Weiner is listening right now, my dear friend, I may need to get out of the city, and I may need a job on 560 WQAM, 104.3 FM.
I was going to say, if you want a job on the
run out of the city.
If you want a job on the AM, I think you can have it. But I don't know if they're paying. If you want to be on the FM, it's a whole different
story. What is that, Radio Libre?
No, it's still 560, but it's kind of just there. Although I saw someone at the gas station today recognize me, and he's like, "I still listen on the AM." I was like, "Good for you." There's something
it's on both AM and the FM.
Something about the crackle of the AM. I love that. You're in New York. What did you make, and what are New Yorkers making of what the Jets did yesterday? They punted on everything. Kind of had the fire sale that I thought the Dolphins were going to have.
I thought you were going to talk about the election there for a second. I was like, "All right, I'm going to just close out the chat real quickly." I think everyone was shocked on Sauce Gardner. People thought there was a good chance Quinnen Williams was going to get traded. The fact that the Jets got two first-round picks for Sauce, who I've been saying this for a year and a half, Sauce Gardner is a good player, a fine player. He is not this great player that you saw the first two seasons. The last year and a half, he has been vastly overrated. Like, I remember in New York 2 years ago, I said, Pat Surtain is better than Sauce Gardner. Everyone looked at me and said I was crazy. And now they look at me and they say that I was absolutely right. So the Jets getting two first-round picks for Sauce is good. For Quinnen Williams, they're totally in a rebuild. He's a good player. So they get a first and a second. They now have five first-round picks in the next 2 years. So you could sit here and say, okay, the Jets, which they've been rebuilding my entire life, and like, all right, it's a good job by Darren Mooji because this team just absolutely stunk. They got something for their resources, and now they could fully invest in a rebuild. But ultimately, they got a hit on four of these five first-round picks. And I'll give you one mulligan, but the one mulligan it can't be is on the quarterback. And that's the interesting part to me. If they take a quarterback this year, it's either going to be Dante Moore, Ty Simpson, Fernando Mendoza. None of those names, we think, are highly coveted names. So do they take a quarterback this year or do they wait for next year? But what did everyone tell us a year ago? Oh, wait for that 2026 NFL draft class. The quarterbacks are going to be unbelievable. And right now, they don't look like they're going to be unbelievable. So it's a crapshoot in the quarterback drafting business. But when Mooji makes the pick, he has to get it right. Because if he doesn't, then that will be the death of him in New York.
And Gelby, on the other side of that trade, though, so like you say, Sauce Gardner, I still think he's a very extremely good corner. Hall of Fame ability, I'll put it that way. He has all the tools in his toolbox. And then Quinnen Williams, Did the Cowboys or the Colts get better with their additions? Because you obviously trade thinking that you're right on the edge of something.
Yeah, so the Colts are in better position for this year. And I look at that and I say, okay, that means they really believe in Daniel Jones as long as he doesn't get hurt. That's why they give up the next year first round pick. And Daniel Jones is going to be back. The question is he back on a franchise tag? Or is it one of those Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, 3-year deals for $100 million? I think Quinnen Williams is the better of the two players between him and Sauce Gardner, in my opinion. And if you're the Cowboys, if you factor it in with the trade for Micah Parsons, let me be clear, I'd still rather have Micah than the players I'm about to mention. But now they have Kenny Clark, they have Quinnen Williams, and then another first-round pick that they got back from the Micah Parsons trade. So if they hit on that first-round pick, and this is the thing for the Cowboys, their offense is good enough. I know it hasn't been great the last 2 weeks, but Dak, you know, regardless of what Draymond Green's about to say, calling him a bum, which I don't get. But Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. CeeDee Lamb's a great wide receiver. George Pickens, he'll be back. They'll find a way to get the deal done. They have enough on offense. Now it's how do you make a garbage defense just be serviceable? If the Cowboys in this offseason can get their defense to be serviceable, then they can make the postseason next year. So I still would have kept Micah Parsons. But I think between the two, I'd rather have Quinnen over Sauce, but you're going to see more of the return on Sauce in bigger leverage spots because of the fact the Colts will be in the playoffs and the Cowboys won't be.
Gelby, we're going to be out of time here, so I'm just going to ask you for your prediction on Sunday because I'm fascinated by this Dolphins-Bills game because the Dolphins, they had one good game this season against Atlanta. They had another win against the Jets. But I don't understand how you can somehow muster up something against Buffalo when the GM's been fired. I mean, the team, the front office has said we've given up on the season. Everyone was for sale. They got rid of Jalen Phillips. They didn't sell off anyone else, but everyone was for sale. Mike McDaniel seems like dead man walking. It's a disaster. How can the Dolphins stick with Buffalo? Dolphins are 9-point home dogs on Sunday. Would you take that 9?
I would lay the 9 with the Buffalo Bills because like what you said, it was close the first time. They already had the rah-rah effort up against the Buffalo Bills. It seems like as long as the Bills have a pulse, even if it isn't pretty, they should be able to beat this team by 10 points. And if it was McDaniel that got fired, maybe there's an interim boost. With Chris Greer, the general manager, being out, I don't think there's an interim boost. The only way that this game is close is if Josh Allen just becomes a turnover machine and that offensive line gets abused by the Dolphins. But once again, the Dolphins just traded Jalen Phillips, so it's kind of tough for me to see this Dolphins defense really doing much damage up against the Buffalo Bills.
Zach Gelb from the WFAN studios in New York. We will talk to you next Wednesday. See you, Gelby.
No Heat Nuggets talk? Come on, Solana.
9.5-point dogs tonight, the Heat. They have a tough time in Denver.
I would have spent 30 minutes on the Heat versus Nuggets, Gelb. You know that.
Play Peppers! Play Peppers!
Probably not tonight. Probably no Peppers
tonight. I'm sending my resume to Florida now. You know, I could be on the move, all
Len,
right?
Len.Weiner at Odyssey.com. All right, see you, Gelby.
Later, guys.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Go.
Omar Kelly has graced us on the video feed, and I texted Omar this morning. I said, hey, I want to talk about the Tua situation. Hawk is off, but I'd like you to join Crowder and I. And I was telling everybody earlier in the show, Omar, he joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, Miami Dolphins columnist covering the team for the Miami Herald. Yesterday, I'd asked Zach Gelb, who joins us. He's a national talk show host. We were just kind of asking him his national perspective on the Dolphins. He's not geared in like you are, obviously, around the team, but he's got a good pulse of what's going on, Omar. And we asked him what he thought the interest around the league would be for Tua Tagovailoa this offseason, or what he would have to do to garner interest. And he said his opinion that he thinks it would be virtually impossible for the Dolphins to trade Tua at the end of the season. And I clipped it and I posted it on social media. And this morning I'm just looking at the comments, and Caleb Smith commented on Facebook, according to Omar Kelly, there's a huge market for Tua if he were to be released or traded. Well, and he said, so why don't y'all get him on this topic? I said, okay, Caleb. All right. I'll get Omar on this topic then. I want to be free and fair here. I'll get Omar on this topic. So, Omar, I would like to ask you, you know, beyond all, everything else from today, you were at practice. You spoke to some of the players. I see there's no more Papa Shot, which I can't wait to talk to you about. What do you really think the market would be for Tua, or does he have to play a certain way this final stretch, final half of the season, in order to bolster the idea of somebody trading for him?
I want you to know that you inspired my column that will be in today's Miami Herald, where the whole bottom portion explains what's remaining on Tua's contract. It's probably the most complicated situation to sum up to anybody. But the bottom line is Tua is getting $55 million from the Dolphins or somebody else next year. Who pays it? Who knows? And if you cut him, then you're basically having a dead cap of $99 million. So he's playing in the NFL unless he retires and cashes out an injury settlement. And I think that that's a slim possibility. Now, when I said that there are teams that were interested in Tua, that was based on me talking, reporting, and I know head coaches that are definitely interested in Tua. One of them does have a quarterback now, and then one of them, we depends on the situation, how the season plays out. He might not have a quarterback. He might have a quarterback. Then you look at the New Orleans Saints. You telling me that if they don't end up with one of these hopeful quarterbacks, that they're not going to be interested in Tua and putting him in the dome situation? I find that hard to believe, especially considering his head coach is a lefty and just like him. So obviously, you know, there's some commonalities there. There will be interest in Tua. The contract is not ideal. It's really going to be a turnoff to everybody. But that's the reality of the situation. I mean, I have a hard time believing that he's not going to be here next year.
And, to that point, or just to the attention he's getting or the interest he'll have, my thing is Tua can play football in this league. That's not what I'm saying when I say, no, you know, low interest. Is somebody going to hand him the reins again? He's our franchise. Like, it's Tua, because I think, I don't know if you heard me, I think 2023, he's coming up, he's moving, he hit 2023. I think we hit the bell curve and he's going back down, or at least plateauing. I don't think we're going to see a better Tua than 2023.
Listen, even Tua said, and this is part of the column, he's trying to get back to where I was. I don't understand why my game has changed and why I'm not feeling as comfortable as I am. I know why, but, you know, I'm not feeling as comfortable. My footwork isn't right. You know, I'm trying to get back to that old form. And I'm thinking to myself, with what receivers? I'm thinking to myself, with what offensive line? You know, and this is not to make excuses for him. He does not look like the same quarterback. He is, you know, he got that Jay Cutler disease where if you come in close to him, I'm throwing the ball away. Like, it's out of my hand. Like, don't hit him. But he's also instructed to do this.
Right.
He's instructed to play this way because everybody hammered in his brain, just keep yourself available to the team. Okay. Well, it's altered his game a little bit, slightly, just a little bit.
What? Oh, to that point. So I think you're a little higher on Tua than me.
Yeah.
But we talked about it where, like, the Lions offense, that play action having two hellified running backs, you can run the ball and win games. Now you have the deep ball play action. Tua's arm, I don't think, can thrive in that deep ball offense. He can't play with in the Ravens offense or the Bills offense. He's not that athletic enough. Like, what kind of offense does Tua have to play? Does it have to be timing and throwing the windows?
Yeah, but he thrived in that offense, and he thrived throwing the deep balls in 22 and 23. We just haven't seen it in 24. Now, has the arm slightly decreased? I don't know, maybe. But I've seen Tua throw a 45 yards on a rope. That's not his strength, but that wasn't Ryan Tannehill's strength. And he played, 10 seasons, if not more, as a starter in the NFL? I don't think it's the deep ball. I mean, and realistically, outside of Jalen Waddle, who are you throwing a deep ball to on this team?
Alec Ingold. Apparently Alec Ingold, Omar.
We got you.
Yeah, I do think he needs a little bit more targets, but that's a whole
stop. Stop.
Listen, nobody ever defends Alec Ingold. Think about it. They always assume he's blocking. What's supposed to be fakes blocks and goes out for a route? You know what I'm saying? On somebody like Channing Crowder, he'd probably be open.
Wow. We got you for 11 yards. Man, now you can't base no offense around that.
I mean, what you want? Listen, it's funny. I say this, and Crowder, you could understand. Do you realize that their best offense is six offensive linemen on the field? And four targets. It's like they said, forget the fifth target.
Yeah.
We can play well if we can protect the quarterback. Think about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
If you run the ball better and you protect the quarterback and he really don't need five outlets, why wouldn't you think about just going with six offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Just think about it a little bit. Oh. It's worked.
Omar, if Crowder could have been on the field as a linebacker going up against a team that had Larry Borum and Greg Dulcich as the two tight ends, you'd still be in the league.
Pro bowler.
You'd still be in the league.
What? I could lock down Borum. Choco. Oh, but listen, I you're right, too. The six offensive line thing. They're going to figure that out. They're going to know Fat Boy's not going out. They're going to start doubling people. Like, that was the thing about Mike McDaniel's stuff, and Aronde Gaston called it years ago. If his stuff works, it works. If they got him, there's no – he can't turn a page over. There's no plan B is what we kept calling it. What's the – like, that's what he had – it seemed like the sixth offensive lineman was a plan B, but the plan B didn't hit until 3 weeks ago. Hell,
we're 4 years in. I was begging them the year three when they couldn't run the ball to put a jumbo – go to a jumbo package. But, you know, that's besides the point. Right now, they're problem solving. They don't have Darren Waller. They don't have Tyreek Hill. Who is your second best weapon? Malik Washington? Like, you know, Devon Achane is catching, probably going to catch more balls than any back in team history at this point. You know, you have two legit weapons on this team. Who in the NFL can you beat with two legit weapons?
Obviously, the Falcons and the Jets
and the Falcons.
Hey, they just caught them. They just caught them sleeping on that six offensive lineman.
Omar,
surprise.
Omar, before we let you go, I know you have a busy day ahead of you. The plan right now from the front office, they let go of Chris Greer. I don't think anybody's very surprised that that was the move, but I do think there's people who are surprised Mike McDaniel is sticking around here. The plan moving forward, where we're reading reports that Mike McDaniel might still have a job next season, depending on how he does this year. What do you make of the whole thing? I mean, I see you laughing. What do you make of this entire situation? You keep Greer, but or you let go of Greer, but not McDaniel. Like, how is this going to work out?
Let me counter your reports, which is, I mean, what else are they going to say? Let me counter your reports. Crowder, you remember when Joey stepped up in the meeting room and basically was like, Cam Cameron, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, right next to him. I was grabbing it. I was grabbing his pant leg like a little kid trying to keep daddy home. Sit your ass down, Peasy. Sit down. Man, you full of bleep. You don't know what the hell going on.
Yeah. Listen, the minute the locker room is thinks you don't know what's going on, you can't fix it, and like we are doomed, and they start checking out, you're done. You're done as a head coach. Gase tried to change the entire locker room. Who was it? Was it Gase or Joe Philbin? I think Joe Philbin tried to change the entire locker room too. It doesn't matter. When they check out, and they're not coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing you could do. As long as one or two players is there, they'll sit there in the meeting room and be like, this joker don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
So all these people were saying, Mike's safe. Mike's safe if they start winning games, maybe. But think about it from Steve Ross's perspective. How can you sell this team to a fan base if you bring Mike back? Exactly what do you say? What do you do? This fan base is, they're done. They're like, no more of this. I'm good. I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
And I really don't know if you could do anything other than massive change up to get their interest again. And it's going to be a tough uphill battle for this Dolphins organization.
They took out the Papa Shot. You had to know, man, that they were interested in Papa Shot. Now they're not thinking about Papa Shot.
Well, they're getting ready for Buffalo, Omar, right?
Yeah,
they're getting ready for Buffalo.
The Papa Shot was taking over their minds.
Listen, it's so funny because it's a Papa Shot and a basketball rim, but they took out both of them. And those things must have taken so many shots. The Papa Shot been broken like four times already. We are on week 9. The Papa Shot has been broken like four times. We're in the locker room. There might be 400 shots taken, from the Papa Shot. You walk into the shower, Papa Shot, Papa Shot. You try, you know how it is, Crowder. You try. It was a gathering thing. It was a meeting place. It was a bonding thing. I guess they figured week 9, we done bonded. We good. We
So the Papa Shot was a distraction. What's the care? Me and Salon talked about this earlier. You're talking about motivation or people checking out on McDaniel. What is the carrot that you're chasing? What's the carrot that they're – I guess, what are they selling the players as that carrot that they're chasing?
It's funny because Bradley Chubb called. He's like, I might be delusional, but I still think we got a shot at winning the game. Yeah. And I'll be like, okay, Bradley, you are indeed delusional. people are playing for their futures, NFL futures, for their future roles, for their future contracts, for their future employer, maybe for their future head coach. This is really about, this is when you get the repeated to you, the eye in the sky, don't lie. Mm-hmm. I got to put good stuff on film because that's going to be my resume. Like, you cannot quit on a team. It makes it very hard on you when you do quit on a team and people are not going to want to employ you.
Yeah. Omar, do you eat nachos?
No, I just cheese. Why would I do that?
I knew that because you don't eat sandwiches. Today's National Nachos Day. I figured nachos, there's just too much going on a plate for you.
It's the cheese component. I'll eat the chips with some picadillo. I mean, not picadillo, salsa. I forget what people.
Guac. You know, you eat guac, like guac and chips. You don't eat guacamole.
No, I will eat it in a roll, but I'll be like, but I'll survive with it in a roll, but I'm not enjoying it. I don't enjoy guac.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, y'all grown men don't eat nothing. So
you don't eat like mozzarella sticks.
Oh, I do eat mozzarella. If it's mozzarella, I'll give it a try.
He likes fried cheese. You like fried cheese then?
Pizza and mozzarella sticks is probably about the extent of my cheese experience. But I mean, if I eat cheese, whoever's around me gonna pay the consequences. It's not just that I don't like it. Like,
you got that milk.
Cheese don't like me either. Channing, you've been vegan for a hot minute. You know, once you start eating all that stuff, oh man.
This guy, TikTok trend, Omar, this guy has taken down prebiotic, probiotic, kombucha.
Spent
$75 on some health vitamins downstairs. And meanwhile, he threw down 7,000 calories of sushi in between each of those kombuchas.
Hey, oh, you're getting on your peptides and your collagen? You got to get your peptide collagen in you.
You know what? The collagen, I do need to research it.
There you go. See, look at
all them old cougars, they real big on the collagen. You know what I'm saying?
Look at Solana. Look at, he looks all sick and meagly. Look at
his wife know about that collagen.
He's TikTok health guy final boss. Omar Kelly, read his work. By the way, it looks like our show inspired a column tonight. That's pretty cool. Read it. MiamiHerald.com. Omar, we love you, man. Thank you so much.
I guess.
All right, it's always fun to have Steve Tasker, former Bills great, and I do mean great. My God, was he good. Co-host of the One Bills Live, WGR Sports Radio, MSG, joining us. Steve, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you.
No, man, always great talking to you, and even having those dinners from time to time are great, always having you with us. Hey, I'll tell you what, the 1-2 punch. I'm always amazed before we get to Josh Allen and James Cook. The starting five offensive linemen, nobody talks about it. Nobody keeps their guys have been more durable than that starting five. Nobody gets hurt. We have two of our starters get hurt in the first game, and they haven't been back. What, talk about the durability and how good that starting five is and having a great year.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's been like 2.5-3 years. I think every once in a while, Spencer Brown will take a game off because he'll have an ankle or maybe his back is bothering him. But other than that, all five of those guys have played together going on 3 straight years, Joe. It's been 2.5. And I think Spencer Brown has missed 2 games, once in 2024 and once in 2025. The rest of it, all five of those guys are going. And I think one of the things we've been hearing rumblings about Aaron Cromer, who is the offensive line coach, and his techniques for teaching these guys. And a lot of guys are crediting him a little bit as for one aspect of it, is they have a real awareness of not throwing their defensive lineman, not throwing them into the legs of other guys, keeping them up off their feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And I don't think he's probably the only guy that does that, but you know, there's no explanation for it really when you get down to it. I mean, the game's freewheeling down inside, and while all those guys have specific jobs to do, you know, having five guys stay healthy for this long is
unheard of.
Yeah, and I'm gonna knock on wood up here in Buffalo because it's probably not going to last that much. You know, you never know when it's going to end, but it's really true. That has been an anomaly that has really helped this offense.
Well, and the reason I bring it up, because the running game is number one in the NFL right now. The offense, total offense, number one. James Cook, I have followed him since, went to his high school games at Miami Central, and I had no idea that he was ever going to be this good at 190 pounds the way he's running the ball and his durability.
Yeah, you know, he runs – I make the analogy. He runs like water running downhill. He weaves through the defense rather than kind of jumps and stops and starts and hops over. He weaves through it, and he's been really good. I think it's been with the offensive line we were just talking about. I think the real surprise is his ability to run in between the tackles.
Yes.
I mean, he's not big, you know. Certainly, he's got speed and he can bounce it out and he can hit the, he can, you know, run a toss play with him and he can get to the edge. But running down inside is, I think, is one of the things that has surprised a lot of people because he is only 190 pounds. And he's done all that very well.
Hey, Steve, defensively, you guys have had some problems. I think a lot of people got to see the Atlanta game and what happened and stuff. You feel better about it? I know you had some more injuries like everybody. Where do you stand right now with the defense and how they look?
Well, we were really starting to be optimistic. Michael Hoyt came off the suspended list, played two games, and was really a kind of a catalyst. He upticked Joey Bosa's production. Joey Bosa started getting sacks, and Bosa's having a really good year, but he's just not getting sacks at the end of it. He's pressuring at the highest rate in the league, or one of the highest rates. He's all over the place. And Mike Hoyt really seemed to unleash the rest of the defense. I mean, last week alone, you got Cole Bishop playing like an all-pro in the secondary. You got Max Harrison coming in his second game as a pro, getting an interception and running with Xavier Worthy. You know, all of a sudden, all over the defense, you had guys playing the best we've ever seen them play. And then Mike Hoyt pops his Achilles on the first or second play of the fourth quarter. And now we're back to where we were before that, you know, where they're it looks like they, you know, they're going to be struggling to get pressure, struggling to stop the run in certain situations. This defense last year made its money getting turnovers, and those have dried up to a certain extent. They're getting some, but not like they did last year, you know. So that in and of itself is where the defense sits. It's a little bit of a question mark now. They've got some guys playing pretty well, but not together as well as they have played in the past.
You know,
certainly not a top defense.
Yeah, Steve, it's the wide receiver group gets knocked pretty good. You know, you guys here, they don't get separation and stuff. How is that group overall? They still putting up pretty good numbers as a group, but how are they playing?
Well, you're right. I mean, that's been a real sore spot for Bills fans because, you know, it seems to maybe stifle Josh Allen when they need Josh to be good. He doesn't have anywhere to go with the ball. I don't know that any of it's true. I mean, Josh played really well last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. They pushed the ball down the field. I think it is going to look a little different this offense because when everybody's healthy, I think, you know, you got a tight end in Dalton Kincaid, who's the number one guy. And that always makes it look a little different than maybe fans wished it did. Khalil Shakir, who is a very shifty slot receiver, he's better at run after catch than he is getting separation deep down the field. So when he makes a big play, it's usually with a, you know, a 10-yard catch and a 30-yard run. So for that reason, Bills fans are kind of down on how this offense looks. Now, certainly you're right. I mean, it's hard to complain when you're one of the top offenses in the league and you're churning out yards. And Josh has always been a touchdown machine, you know. But that's where we are in Buffalo. I mean, people are worried and upset about how the offense looks. But, you know, they're scoring 29 points a game every week.
Yeah, I look at those numbers, and, you know, there are probably a lot of people like we are in South Florida where things have obviously changed a lot over the last week or two. That are going, man, those numbers don't look so bad. Hey, I got to ask you, I've been thinking about this and thinking about you, Steve, and about when we made all the kickoff and kickoff return changes as one of the great, if not the greatest cover guy in the history of the National Football League. I was wondering what you thought of the new kickoff and kickoff return rules that they put in.
It seems like it's really back in the game. I mean, they're returning like over 70% of the kicks. And, you know, you got to play, it's a new play that you got to play. And I've been talking to some of the, you know, special teams guys, and it's hard to make some space. There's no space down there for the coverage guys. You got to get there fast. I'm really happy to see the league's commitment to keeping kickoff in the game. You know, there was some talk about going to a fourth and 15 play, fourth and 17 play, and just do away completely with the kickoff. At that time, when they started doing the standing start kickoff, which was, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, I was in the room when the league had a big meeting about it. And they then, Troy Vincent then, expressed his desire and the league's desire to keep the foot in the game. And they have done that. I mean, that play, the kickoff is back in the game. It's a real thing now, and guys are starting to get the nuances of it, and it's starting to become a dynamic play again. I'm really happy about it because I think it adds something to the game. You know, it's just nice. to know that there's a ton of guys that are getting good work.
Yeah.
Now that they kept that get playing the game, and it has forced some roster management decisions by coaching staffs as well. So I think it does add a degree of difficulty all the way from top to bottom through your football team.
Well, I tell you what, they're looking for a whole bunch of guys. Well, three or four guys like you now that can cover and save 15, 20 yards on a kickoff now. And we've seen it up close here against the Chargers. They return one to the 40, 45-yard line, complete one pass, a long pass, yeah. Kick a field goal in the last few seconds, and you lose a ball game. I know defensive coordinators, I heard Fangio complaining because that combination with field goal kickers, they can all kick it from 60, that it's putting a lot of pressure on defenses. I'm like, well, that's what the league wants, man. Want some more.
Yeah.
They want more offense, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's been an awesome addition. The field placement and their ability to realize that, and it forces the kicking team to put the ball in play. Because of the 35-yard touchback, it's been a plus all the way around. I think teams have had a chance to do it. We saw last week where the Cincinnati Bengals recovered an onside kick against the Bears and gave them a chance to win, only to ultimately lose it at the end. So I think that's probably the next step, Joe. They'll probably have to look at the onside kick rules to see if they can come up with something that'll allow the kicking team a better chance to recover an onside late in the game when they're desperate.
Steve, I'll leave you with this one. We sit up here and watch everything going on in the AFC East with you guys, and I know your fan base is going, gosh, we got all these really good teams, but we can't get by Mahomes in Kansas City in the playoffs, and they're doing the same thing in Baltimore, and Lamar's got to hear about this. How do they feel about this team compared to the past teams and what you were able to just do against Kansas City?
Well, it's a different club, and you're right. There is a little bit of deja vu in this. You know, the Bills beat Kansas City in the regular season, face them in the playoffs, and can't get past them. It's happened four or five times, and it's pretty tedious. But so that's, the expectations are astronomical, sky high, and when they don't meet those expectations on a week-to-week basis, man, people are ticked. They are really unhappy. So it's a real impatient wait. And you remember what it was like with Dan and Marino and those guys back in the day. You're just impatient for this regular season to get over with so you can get to the playoffs and the games that really matter. Because even the fans are impatient to see what this team can do against the best teams and make that walk to the Super Bowl. Yeah, they do. I mean, theoretically, the one seed's still on the table for this team and the division title and all that. But, man, they want to see this team in the playoffs because that's what we've all been waiting for. And so it's a little bit of an impatient wait through this regular season. They trust this team's going to make the playoffs, but that's what they want to see.
You've been surprised by the Patriots' jump with their big free agent class and hitting, obviously, on some draft picks. And by the way, a new head coach, which has made a difference.
Yeah, I knew Vrabel would make a difference up there. I did not know Drake May was going to be able to play at this high level for this long. You know, he thought you'd be a little bit more of a roller coaster even in his second year, but they have really sustained really good play. And on both sides of the ball, they're a solid football team. They're getting a break. They've got the easiest remaining schedule left in the NFL. And that's going to help them a little bit. There's a massive game on the 15 on week 15 against the Bills. That's going to probably be for the division title. If both teams can get there. I knew Vrabel would make a difference up there.
And
Drake May is, he's a real quarterback. He's a real dude. He can play. He is not a stiff. He's not a system quarterback. He's got some skill and some ability and he's able to go off the page, which I guess is part of the job description these days. So, I think I knew Vrabel would make a difference, but man, to have him play this well and this consistently for this long has been a real surprise.
Yeah, incredible. The turnaround has been incredible. Steve, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Joe, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Steve Tasker joining us this morning on his way to the Hall of Fame at some point here as a special teams player. Unbelievable. More than 200 tackles on coverage. Just crazy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.